Blog Talk Radio.
Amen. Hallelujah. We give God praise on today. This is the day God has made. We are rejoicing and we are glad in it. Hallelujah. Welcome to our Word Wednesday. We thank God for tonight. We thank God for what's about to transpire through the Word of God. Hallelujah. If you're a child of God, you are in a good place, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Hallelujah. The Christ in you, the Bible says, the hope of glory. So you and I have a heavenly mansion waiting for us. But until then, he expects us to get the victory while we are here on the earth. Amen. So we're going to pray and get into the Word of God. Because he said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will remain forever. So it's very important for you and I to just stay in this word and refresh our memories about the word and just keep letting the word get into our eye gate as we read the Bible and our ear gate as we hear the preached word of God. Hallelujah. And in Psalm 1 and in Joshua 1, he said, meditate on the word day and night. And Joshua, he said, you'll have good success. And in the psalm, the word says, everything our hands touch will prosper. So we thank God for you who take it seriously and come out on these Wednesday nights through the phone, just knowing that it is very important for you and I to stay and get into the Word of God. This one day a week, we just get into the Scripture in Jesus' name and study to show ourselves approved. Let us pray. Father, we thank you tonight for the opportunity to study your word. Lord, we thank you for even the desire to come and hear your word. So God, use me tonight, and I thank you for this opportunity to teach and to study your word. So God, in the name of Jesus, may your spirit be upon our time together. May your grace and your hand and your mercy be with us tonight. And we thank you for your spirit being yet with us on this line, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. He said, those who hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be fulfilled. So we thank God for the word of God. As you hear the word, more word is getting into you. As you quote scripture out of your mouth, the Bible says life and death is in your tongue. So when you speak the word, things begin to happen. And that's what we're talking about tonight, simply developing a kingdom mindset. Developing a kingdom mindset. And that's what I want to talk about tonight, because it is a process. I've been saved now over 25 years. I'm still learning. I'm still growing. I'm still getting understanding and revelation of what God is up to. Yes, we have our own agendas. We have our own desires and we have our own wants. We have some situations that we have at the altar, but there's always a bigger picture at hand. Amen. And as we study and develop in the kingdom mindset, yes, he's going to bless us. We are going to prosper. We are going to be successful. But there is something that God requires of you. There's something that God requires of me. Amen. And we're going to look, starting with the life of Joseph, the earthly father of Jesus. You know, it's been in my spirit since the prayer line last night. Sister Rita and Prophet Jamal and Sister Maria and so many talked about Jesus, because we know the reason for this season. Amen. The birth of Jesus. John 3:16 was prophesied, and it came to pass. God so love the world, John 3:16 says. The gospel writer John wrote, John 3:16, God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believe in him shall never perish, but shall have eternal life. And as we see the birth of Jesus Christ, we know that John 3:16, God kept his word. Amen. So as we start tonight, I want to look at some people that had a kingdom mindset. And maybe it can help you and I, if we are kingdom-minded, to stay kingdom-minded. And if we're not yet kingdom-minded, it would help us to start heading in that direction. Amen? Because God wants us to be about his Father's business, about the kingdom. So let's start in the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter number 1. We're going to look at the genealogy of Christ. I'm not going to look at, you know, all of it. I just want to look at a few verses to point out the importance of what's going on here as we get into Matthew chapter 1, looking at the life of Joseph. Sometimes why, you know, what God was asking Joseph to do was not an easy thing to say yes to. Amen. And sometimes when God asks us to do something, it's not always easy to say yes to it. Can I get an amen somewhere? Hallelujah. It's not easy. I wish it was, but I can tell you from firsthand experience, it's not always easy to obey God. So Matthew chapter 1, starting at verse 1. Now the book of the generations of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begot or had Isaac. Isaac begot or had Jacob. And Jacob begot or had Judas and his brothers. That's verse 1 and 2. Now go down to verse number 16. That's the whole genealogy. And it's going to end right here as we read 16 and 17, the genealogy of Jesus Christ. Yes, we know he was God incarnate in flesh, but we're looking at the earthly genealogy, amen? His earthly connection. Verse number 16, and Jacob begot Joseph. That's who we're going to look at right now in a moment, Joseph. Jacob begot Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. And from David until the carrying away into Babylon are 14 generations. And from Babylon, the carrying away into Babylon into Christ, 14 generations. We're not going to get into all of that, but I just want to get to verse 18. But the reason I started with the genealogy, I wanted you to see that Joseph, who was chosen by God to play a significant role in the kingdom, knew about the Torah, knew about the prophecy of Emmanuel, the coming of Jesus Christ. He knew about Israel being restored to the things of God. So the Bible says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. And sometimes when we come to church, when we come to Bible study, we read our private meditation, and we get into the Word of God, we begin to get an insight and a greater understanding that God is up to something so much larger than what we're going through personally. Amen? And Joseph knew that, because what God's about to ask him to do right here as we keep reading is not easy. But he knew. He didn't know it all, but he knew enough. Let's read verse number 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. He was about to divorce her, but he was not going to do it publicly. He was going to do it privately. He was a just man. Joseph was a righteous man. But look at verse number 20. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call, come on somebody, I feel God.
and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised up from his sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. I feel the Holy Ghost coming on me so strongly as I read that. Woo! Glory to God. I pray you read it again as we close out tonight's Bible study. Go back and read Matthew 1. It's going to bless you. It's spiritual. But we were talking, and Sister Rita kind of alluded to some of the things that we're talking about right here. She said when we call Joseph was admonished by the angel, because back then the father named the child. Even though Gabriel came to Mary and said, you're going to be with child after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall name that child Jesus. Now the angel is coming to Joseph, who wants to put her away privately. He wants to divorce her, because how can you be pregnant? Come on, somebody. It's not easy to always obey God. And when you have a kingdom-minded mindset, when you understand that God sometimes asks you to do things that you don't fully understand yet, God is asking you to do some things that you haven't got full revelation on yet, but there's a bigger picture. Amen? That's why, you know, when he says go to church, keep the Sabbath holy, pay and give your tithes, serve my church, make my church a strong, I need you to be ambassadors until I come back. I need you to keep the church alive and well. I need you to be a Christian, letting your light so shine that people will glorify your Father in heaven. Those of you who are living on the earth, I need you to be the light of the world. I need you to be the salt of the earth. He's still asking us, amen, to be kingdom-minded. And the world going to say, you know, some of this stuff is obsolete. That was over 2,000 years ago. Out of sight, out of mind. No, it is up to us who are Christians. Because they done tried to annihilate the name for so long. They tried to, you know, remember when Jesus rose from the dead? They told the soldiers to lie and say that the disciples came and stole the body. They've been trying to tell fibs and fables and tales for centuries and decades that Jesus didn't really get up from the grave. But as Pastor Rebecca said on Sunday, the devil is a liar. He got up, come on, with all power in his hand. Woo-hoo! He got up with all power in his hand. He lived. He died. He was buried. But on the third day, he rose from the dead. That's what the Christian got to know. If you know nothing else, know about the resurrection. If you don't know anything else about Christianity, know that he got up and he is seated now at the right hand of God the Father, coming back again to judge the living and the dead. Every Christian should know that. Every Christian should know why we believe, because he is the only one that defeated hell, death, and the grave. Amen. So, you know, it was not easy for Joseph to still take Mary as his wife. I'm getting excited tonight. But sometimes God will ask you to do a hard thing. You know, when he told Abraham, leave your father and your mother. Leave your father's household and go into a land that I'm going to show you. and he gave Abraham, he gave Sarah a promise, and they obeyed God. And that's why God blessed Abraham, the father of faith. Everything we do is by faith, beloved. Everything you and I do is by this thing called faith. We believe the Bible by faith. We believe that Jesus is coming back for us by faith. We live, amen, knowing, knowing that if God be for us, who can be against us? What can separate us from the love of God? You know, I get excited, but I got to go there. That's not even in my notes. But we're going to Romans 8 in a moment. We're going to Romans 8 in a moment because I just moved with the Spirit, and we need to see that tonight because there's so much in the devil. He masters in separation. He tries to separate you from the church, tries to separate you from the saints, tries to separate you from what you know to be true. That's how the devil works. He's a great deceiver. But don't let him deceive you. Don't let him lie to you. As we see the obedience of Joseph, be mindful that obedience is better than sacrifice. We have to obey the word of God, people of God. You know, far too many Christians are walking in disobedience. Sometimes we're walking out of the will of God. Maybe I'm not talking to you tonight, but sometimes when you see a massive or you see a multitude, or sometimes even when you see the majority, well, most Christians I know, they living worse off than, no, don't judge it by that. Judge you by you. Amen. Make your standard personal. Don't measure yourself against another saint that may be sinning more than you or living more foul than you. Don't judge it by that. Raise your standard. Make your bar high. Amen. And allow your, challenge your own self, challenge your own walk, and allow God to raise you up to be a difference maker. To God be the glory. And let's see, because once you start obeying God, it's easier to keep obeying God. Look at, since we're still in Matthew, before we get out of this, I still want to look at it a little further because we are talking about developing a kingdom mindset. That's why I started off with the genealogy. Joseph, all these people he's connected to in his bloodline knew about the promises of Abraham, knew about the promises of David, knew about the Mosaic law and the promises of Moses. So as we get to Joseph, Joseph knew, even in his generation, that he had a connection to his ancestors way back, who obeyed the things of God, and he kept obeying God. Matthew chapter number 2, verse number 13. Matthew 2, verse number 13. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt. And be thou there until I bring the word. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night, and he departed into Egypt. As Sister Rita was talking last night about calling on the name of the Lord, we got to see that it all started with the obedience of his father, Joseph. Jesus' earthly ministry began at age 30. He ministered for about 3.5 years, from age 30 to around age 33.5. But guess what? Joseph had to play a pivotal role in even getting him to that point. So his obedience was key. Joseph's obedience was key to the kingdom of God. So he had a kingdom mindset. He knew this thing was way beyond him. And let's keep looking. As you look at, we're still in Matthew chapter number 2. Now look at verse number 19. But when Herod was dead, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream again, as he's in Egypt, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead, which sought the young child's life. And he arose and took the young child and his mother, and they came into the land of Israel. When you begin to obey God, it doesn't necessarily get easy, but it gets easier. Amen? You know, it's a challenge. You know, go to church, read your word, pray, give, fast, serve. These are mandates of the Christian. And God is looking for us to fulfill those mandates as believers. Amen? So we got to know that Christ expects something from each and every believer who represents him, who are called by his name. To God be the glory. Before we go to Romans 8, because I really want to look at that, and but let's look at another obedient person who had a kingdom mindset and kingdom agenda, the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah chapter number 6, the prophet Isaiah was key. He's the one that prophesied the coming Messiah. And it's so powerful what he says here in Isaiah chapter number 6, how he even obeyed God and thought he was inadequate, thought he was not qualified. And sometimes, you know, we come to God and we're rough around the edges. And you know, it amazes me because I said, God, you know, even as I prepared this lesson tonight, I'm like, Jesus, why did you choose those 12? We understand Judas was the one of perdition. We understand Judas disobeyed, and he is the one that lost his soul. So Jesus did choose Judas. We get it. But the other 11 who obeyed, who gave their lives, who became martyrs and was obedient, I'm like, Jesus, why did you choose these 12? And God just gave me a revelation because of their heart. They did not commit immediately right away. Even after he was resurrected, he appeared to them on several occasions, but it took some time. This is why never beat yourself up too much. And I'm not telling you that you should not live right, but don't be too hard on yourself. You let conviction do its work, because without no conviction, there can be no change. So when the Holy Ghost convict you, you know you should be in church more. You know you should read your word more. You know you should have been nicer to your husband. You know you should have been nicer to your children. You know you should stop goofing off at work. Well, when the Holy Ghost convicts you, you got to go with that conviction. But if you do fall short, you know, some people were, I never forget, I grew up with this lady and, I mean, she was just what they call a cusser. God bless her soul. She's with Jesus now, but her name was Miss Fannie Mae. And everybody knew Fannie Mae in the neighborhood would have a big old Bible, going to church like almost every day of the week. But she had a lot of curse words. And sometimes, because of the things of God, maybe, you know, some people who have been cussers, they might still curse, but they don't curse as much. And sometimes we have to look at our progress. Maybe cursing is not your thing. Maybe there's another a stronghold. There's another familiar spirit. There's another bad habit. There's another bad behavior. There's something else that trips you up. It may not be a foul mouth, but it's something else. Whatever that thing is, if you're making progress to defeat it and you slip up, just get back on the potter's wheel. Get back on the horse, as they say. Amen? And keep going in the right direction of salvation. That's why the Bible says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, because we are all a work in progress. Isaiah chapter number 6. If I'm moving fast, it's because I just got so much zeal on me right now, so much fire. Because I love the word of God. I absolutely love the word of God. Isaiah chapter number 6, verse number 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphim. Each one had six wings, which two he covered with his face, and two he covered with his feet, and two he did fly. And one cried unto the other and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried. And the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe unto me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims upon me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken from the tongs from the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth, and he laid it upon my mouth, and said, Lo, this has touched your lips, and your iniquity is taken away, my God, and your sin is purged. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Who shall I send? And who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. My God, my God, my God. The prophet Isaiah, the one that wrote, If you be willing and obedient, you will eat of the good of the land. The same Isaiah that wrote, No weapon formed against you will prosper. This great prophet of God, from the beginning, was a man, he said, of unclean lips. He didn't feel worthy to be the mouthpiece for God in the earth. And sometimes, you know, when God calls us, we're like, that's my testimony. I'm like, Lord, I didn't grow up in church. You sure you picked the right dude? But God knows why he chose you. God knows why his hand is on your life. God knows those of us that would keep saying yes in spite of going through hard times and hardships. God knows those of us who, in spite of our culture, in spite of the world in which we live, that sometimes want nothing to do with our God. They don't even want you to say the name Jesus around them. He knew and he knows those of us that would be like Isaiah right here. Who can I send? And who will go for us? Even if we feel inadequate, God, we don't have the credentials. God, we can't preach like so-and-so. We can't talk like so-and-so. We don't have the level of education as so-and-so. We don't have the money like so-and-so. We ain't been saved long as so-and-so. And God says, when you get done, remember Moses gave him a laundry list of, Moses said, I stutter. I'm not even eloquent in my speech. And you telling me to go to Pharaoh and telling him to let my people go? And Moses said, I got a stuttering problem. You're telling me to speak to the Pharaoh. And God said, you know, Moses, when you're done, I still need you to be obedient. And we know the end of the story. Moses goes to Pharaoh. There are 10 plagues. And in the end, Pharaoh did let God's people go. But Moses' obedience was the key. Because Moses, like you and I who have opportunity today,
God wants us to be about his Father's business. We got to become kingdom-minded. If you're not there yet, keep coming to church. That's why our church, New Creation Church, we're apostolic and prophetic, but we're a Bible-believing church. We are a Bible-teaching church. We believe in the unadulterated word of God. So, you know, sometimes we've had some members over the years and we've had some people over the years, and sometimes I call it spooky spiritual. And I don't do spooky too well. I just don't. Because he says, be of sound mind. And sometimes it doesn't mean that sometimes in the supernatural there are some phenomenals and there's some things that don't make sense. But let's not get too far into the, you know, way out there. Let's bring it in, understand the Bible, understand the word of God, know that there's a call for us to go ahead and execute this word in our lives and let God be God. Because if you keep reading, which I'm not going to do, he said, I'm about to send you to a stiff-necked people, a rebellious people, a people that is, you know, they're going to fall into a hardship because of their disobedience. But Isaiah, that's who I'm sending you to. That's why he said, who will go? Who can I send? Because God always gives us a warning. Oh, my God, help me, Holy Ghost. I'm not going to go down that road tonight, but it's on me. God gives us a warning. So if you're out of the will of God, get back into the will of God. I don't know who that's for. Maybe everybody I'm talking to is in the will of God. But if you're perhaps out of the will of God, God is saying through the man of God, get back into the will of God. Amen. Romans chapter number 8. We need to look at this because God wants, you know, our churches should be filled. There was a horrible shooting in Jersey City on yesterday. It's all over the news, all over the nation. It's world news at this point, and they're still investigating. It's, you know, they don't want to disclose too much information because there's too many loose ends. But, you know, 6 people got killed on yesterday in Jersey City, New Jersey, and that's the kind of evil that we're living in our day. It was just massive gunfire, and that's the area near where I work. I work in Hoboken, and Jersey City is the next city from where I work. And we have a pastor friend who was just a block or so away from the incident, who is well and okay. But that's just the days we're living in. And we got to, you know, we got to stay under the shelter of the Most High God. We have to pray without ceasing, people of God. We got to call on the name of the Lord. We got to put our families under the blood, blind, and stain of Jesus. We really got to take this spiritual warfare that we see, you know, the news, and they cover what they want to cover. But those of us who know Bible, some of these things have been prophesied. But we who are Christian, this is why we got to pray. Because he said, if my people, oh, my God, if my people who are called by my name, if they will pray. You know, I like to tell the story of when we were on First Street in Elizabeth. Sometimes there was some, you know, violence. Yes, even gun violence. And we prayed, and we had we used to bring pillows in the church, and Mother May, Mother Maggie, Mother Hattie, Pastor and I, and all the members, we would come in and pray on pillows and call on the name of the Lord. And we've seen change in that community. My wife can verify. We've seen change in that community. You know, there was some negatives going on. Not that we, you know, we were the only church, but that particular block, there's some things that we saw when we moved in there that we didn't see once we moved out of there. And I believe our prayers made a difference. And that's what God is saying, the prayers of the righteous are powerful and effective. You got to know that your prayers make a difference. Romans 8, oh, where do I want to start? Oh, God, there's so much there that I want to read, but I don't have time to read it all. Romans 8, 24. Romans chapter 8, verse number 24. For we are saved by hope that is, no, for we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man see, why do he yet hope for it? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we patiently wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmity. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Very familiar verse, the one I'm about to read, verse number 28. And we know that all things work together for the good to them that love God, to them which are called according to his purpose. I'm going to stop there. We're going to keep reading a little more at the end of this chapter. But what was going on here is that the Holy Spirit plays a vital role in the life of the believer. You, if you are Christian, you have the Holy Spirit. And sometimes we don't know what to pray. But the Bible says the Holy Spirit that knows the will of God will help you. And it will give you an unction. And sometimes when we don't know what to pray, the Spirit helps and do intercession for you and I. Amen. Because sometimes, you know, we pray what we have a need for, what brings us pain, what we need God to work out and what we need God to do. And sometimes when we're kingdom-minded, the Holy Spirit knows what we need to pray for and what we should be praying for. So he goes on ahead of us and begins to make intercession for us and stands in the gap, amen, because he knows the will of God. So sometimes when we don't know the full will of God, we have an advocate called the Holy Spirit. Look at verse number 31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies us. I'm going to keep reading. Who is he that condemns? It is Christ that died. Yes, rather, that is risen again. Who is even at the right hand of God, who also make intercession for us. You got the Holy Spirit making intercession for us. Oh, my God. I just read you have the Holy Spirit praying on your behalf. Now I just read you have Jesus himself praying for you. Glory be to God. Did you hear what I just said? Glory to his name. When we need help, we already got help. That's why the enemy tries to keep us ignorant of the Bible. He wants to keep us in the dark. He don't want you knowledgeable of Scripture. He don't want your understanding to be enlightened. He don't want you to get a greater revelation of what the Word of God means to you personally. Because when you know that, wait a minute, if I'm not praying, I got Jesus praying for me, and I got the Holy Spirit interceding for me. So, and sometimes you wonder, well, why am I not getting away with so much, but why are certain things happening, and I know I'm not praying the way I should pray, and I know I'm not doing what I should be doing by going to church all the time, and I know I'm sometimes disobedient.
I know I'm sometimes stubborn and rebellious. And why do things still work out? Because of what I just read. You have an advocate, Jesus, the Holy Spirit. You have help that you can't see with your natural eye. Glory to God. So I thank God that God has already positioned things in the heavenlies. That's why Pastor preached that thing. He has already prepared works in advance. He has already done things in advance that helps you and I get the victory in this thing called life. Verse number 35 is the one I really wanted to get to. Because, man, time is just moving too fast. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. Woo, glory be to God. More than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Did I tell you that you're more than a conqueror? Did I remind you tonight that you are more than a conqueror in the name of Jesus? That thing is not going to conquer you, but you are going to conquer it because you are more than a conqueror. Glory be to God. Paul reminds you and I tonight that we're not just conquerors, we're more than conquerors. Amen. To God be the glory. Look at, because I got two more scriptures I want to get to tonight, but look at this one, and I think I went here at a Bible study I did recently, but I want us to look at this again. Acts chapter number 19. There are some people that misuse the name of Jesus because Christianity is about relationship, not religion. It's about relationship with Jesus Christ. That's why when you pray in the name and you call on the name, and he said, my sheep know me and they know my voice, and they will not listen to another. Jesus is our shepherd, and we are his sheep. So you know the voice of Christ. You know the voice of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said, because of that, you're in relationship with me. And in Revelation, he said, I stand at the door and knock. And if anyone let me in, I will come in with them and sup and dine with them, and they with me. So every time Jesus comes into your life, as he knocks on your heart and you let him in. Pastor, what do you mean let him in? Listen to him. Yield to him. Spend time with Jesus through private meditation, through devotion, through solitude. Get away from the kids. Get away from the spouse. Get away from the career. Get away from the schooling. Find a quiet place, just you and Jesus. Kind of just shut the world off for a little while. Before you go to work, find a quiet place. That's my time in the morning. My wife is still asleep. When the kids were little, they were still asleep. And when I wake up in the morning, it's just quiet. And I'm talking to Jesus before I go to FedEx. I'm spending time with the Lord. My Bible's on my table. I got coffee in my hand. I'm thinking about my day, but I'm talking to my Jesus. You need that quiet time. You need that private meditation with Jesus. You need those solitude moments. Because what you do in private, he will show you off publicly. Glory be to God. The people don't understand it. You know, yes, we can do things publicly. There's some people that can pray, and they can preach, and they can prophesy. And some people are not afraid to talk in in public arenas, but it, you know, it is those private moments. It is that isolation, that solitude that makes you who you really are. Because, you know, I heard that reputation and integrity and character, it's like I heard it or I read it, that character and integrity is that thing is who you are when nobody's looking. That's character. That's integrity. Not the public stuff, not the stuff that we see in, but that stuff you do when nobody's looking. Who are you when nobody's looking and you can just judge yourself? That's integrity. That's character. That's nobleness. That's honesty. And we're going to look here at the sons of Sceva because they tried to use the name without knowing the name. Oh, my God. Did you hear God tonight? Oh, my God. You know, in Matthew 25, go ahead and read it in your private meditation. He said, you know, people is going to say, Lord, Lord, and he's going to say, I never knew you. My God. Every time I read that, because I read it sometimes in my private meditation, I don't preach it a lot. I don't teach about it a lot. But he pretty much says there are people who call themselves Christian, and there are some people who, that's why the Bible says only God judges the heart and knows the heart. And he says it's going to be a day at the second coming of Christ, and they're going to say, Lord, we did all these things in your name. And he's going to say, depart from me because I never knew you. That blows my mind. Because they're going to say, Lord, Lord, we did all these things in your name. So it's about relationship, people of God, not religion. It's not just about rituals and do's and don'ts and rules and regulations. But Jesus wants a relationship with you and I. Acts chapter number 19, verse number 11. Acts chapter number 19, verse number 11. I'm not going to get to everything I wanted to get to tonight, but that's all right. I pray this is helping you because it's sure helping me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I thank God that our understanding of the word and the importance of becoming kingdom-minded. That God has a bigger agenda. Yes, he's going to bless our private and personal lives, but as he blesses us, it's always with other people in mind. Amen. My wife and I were talking the other day because God, he blessed us with a big old home and nice home, and we have fellowship here. When we were at the church we came from, we had cell group meetings. We opened our home and people from the church came to our home and we had Bible study together. We had a cell group. We had a remnant of people that came and pastor would feed them. She made a mean honey glazed salmon. Glory be to God. I feel the Holy Ghost. Woo! She used to cook a glazed, honey glazed salmon and buffalo wings and great things like that. Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. Give me one second.
God bless you. Hey, come on in. How you doing?
All right. I hate to interrupt the Bible study, but my oldest son just came into our house. To God be the glory. I'm almost done. Rebecca's right inside. To God be the glory. Hey, Jess, how you doing? All right. It's so good to see him. But as I was saying, it's so good to know, glory be to God, that to God be the glory. Amen. Hallelujah. So, to God be the glory. Yes, I'm gonna close it out tonight because my son, he came a long way and he's in trouble. I haven't seen him. To God be the glory. God bless everyone. To God be the glory. Father, we thank you for tonight, and we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Good night, everyone. Love you. God bless.